Welcome to the Encounter Jesus podcast. I want to continue my series here, right? The Life of Jesus Christ, part, am I remember what part we're on? 18. He looked at my notes. So, and this is where Jesus clears the temple, right? And this is Matthew 21, 12 through 22, the Passion. In the heart of Jesus today, as you see here, is the house of prayer. And so let's pray. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful that you're here to reveal Jesus. We thank you for worship and prayer and release and the word from offering and all the things you're releasing and stirring, Lord. I pray that this word will go into our hearts. And I thank you, Lord, that this will bring encouragement and strength and also clarity of some things that you're doing in our family and in globally as well, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's jump right in here, all right? Matthew 21, 12 through 22, the Passion. So I'm going to say verse 12. All right, you're all there. Sarah's there. She was first one, huh? Want a prize? Total points, so. And I feel like the Lord is going to continue to touch you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Verse 12, upon entering Jerusalem, Jesus went directly into the temple area and drove away all the merchants who were buying and selling their goods. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the stands of those selling doves. The New Spirit-Filled Life Study Bible Notes says this. The money changers and other merchants were fraudulent in their transactions. Jesus fulfills a prophecy in Malachi 3, 1 through 3, by another enacting parable, this one demonstrating his messianic authority with respect to the fraudulence and the commercialization of the sacrificial system. This is most likely a second temple cleansing, right? There was two, right? I'm going to say two. So the first cleansing temple was found in actually John 2, 12 through 22, the Passion. This was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry here. So let me read this. This is after the wedding, right? This is where Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into wine at Cana, correct? So after the wedding, okay, this is the woman passage at Brian faithfully released, remember? Just be sure you're paying attention, right? What not to say to your wife, right? That's what that means, right? So after the wedding, Jesus, his mothers and brothers, and his disciples traveled to Capernaum and stayed there for a few days. When the time was close for the Jewish Passover to begin, Jesus walked to Jerusalem. As he went into the temple courtyard, he noticed, Jesus is pretty observant, right? So he noticed it was filled with merchants selling oxen, lambs, and doves for exorbitant prices, while others were overcharging as they exchanged currency behind their counters. So Jesus found some cords. See, he had to search for them, right? And made them into a whip. Wonder what he was thinking. I'm sure we used all that card before in conversation. Hold the righteous anger, right? Come on now. Then he drove out every one of them and their animals from the courtyard of the temple, and he kicked over their tables filled with money, scattered it everywhere, and he told the merchants, get these things out of here. Don't you dare commercialize my Father's house. So this was a corporate healing and deliverance session, right? This is number one. That's when the disciples remember the scripture. Now hear this. I am consumed with a fire passion to keep your house pure. That's out of Psalm 69:9. Purity is a big deal. Verse 18, then the Jewish religious leaders challenged Jesus. What authority do you have to do this sort of thing? What supernatural sign will you show us to prove it? Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. Then the Jewish leaders sneered at Jesus' answer. They were not getting the revelation here, obviously. The temple took 46 years to build. You mean to tell us that you will raise it up in 3 days? But they failed to understand that Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. I mean, it's important we interpret what Jesus is saying correctly, physically versus spiritually. Verse 22, the disciples remembered his prophecy after Jesus rose from the dead and believed both the scripture and what Jesus had said. So the main purpose of the first cleansing of the temple was to keep the house pure, so hearts will be prepared to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. In other words, everyone will get to worship in spirit and truth, not by animal sacrifices. That's a big shift. So let's jump back into where Jesus is cleansing the temple for the second time, okay? And this would be a few days before you'd be crucified, basically 3 years after the first cleansing of the temple, and this would be session two of the corporate healing and deliverance, right? Verse 13, and he said to them, my dwelling place will be known as a house of prayer, but you have made it into a hangout for thieves. So he just kind of cuts the throat, doesn't he? Rick Joyner says this, that we have to build churches that attract presence, not people. So the main purpose of the second cleansing of the temple was to establish prayer as a cornerstone for miracles and ordain praise to manifest. Everybody say ordain praise. Since Palm Sunday, we've come into this new place of praise. I believe it's been activated in all of us. And I think there's a release happening in that place. This was to implement Jesus as king. He reigns and rules and he's in charge. In other words, Jesus is saying, shift your focus here. Pray, heal, and praise Jesus. So verse 14 says this. This is awesome. Then the blind and the crippled came into the temple courts and Jesus healed them all. So Jesus here is reestablishing the culture of prayer, miracles, and praise. And then verse 14 continues, and the children circled around him shouting blessings and praises to the Son of David. But when the chief priests and religious scholars heard the children shouting and saw all the wonderful miracles of healing, they were furious. You know, we all probably meditate on this, but why were the chief priests and the religious scholars furious at the children shouting praises and seeing all the wonderful miracles of healing? I'm sure you pondered that question before, right? They were experiencing new wine with an old wineskin mindset. New wine has to have new wineskin. So he's releasing this whole new paradigm here and stirring up the religious leaders and Pharisees. New wine needs new wineskin. If you have new wine and old wineskin, it's not going to work. And there's a stirring here, right? Obviously, when someone gets healed and, you know, and they get mad, there's an issue going on. That's called a trigger, right? Everyone like triggers? So we all have them, okay? Triggers reveal areas that Jesus needs to heal. Verse 16, and if you're not triggered in that particular area, that means you're healed. Verse 16, they said to Jesus, don't you hear what those children are saying? This is not right. Of course, Jesus always has the answer, right? Yes, I hear them. But have you ever read the scripture from the lips of children and infants? You have ordained praise, Psalms 8:2. I think it's very important we pay attention to the children in this season. Do you notice since January, when Nora came up with that picture of the river? I think it had flowers in that picture too, if I remember, with mountains. Do you remember Ethan, the last 2 weeks, had a word in tongues and interpreted and brought breakthrough for us in the area of praise. And Ella was coupled with that. EJ kids studied the armor of God last week, right? How many know this is a season that we're being clothed with the truth and the righteousness and the peace and the faith and the salvation power of God, renew our mind, the sword of the Spirit. Jen, activate us with new swords today, right? That are being sharpened for a new season. And out of our mouths is praying for all the saints. We're being wooed in to go deeper in our prayer life, in the Spirit and in English. We're being wooed by the Spirit of God in our secret place to be drawn to be with Jesus and to know him and to love him. And there's this prayer that is beginning to surge, that double-edged sword coming out of the mouth. So there's an activation happening. But the children, you know, and they had, she had a what, holy, right, with flowers? And there was some revelation this morning in prayer and last night with Jesus going around giving flowers and all this thing. So ordained, there's something about the children this season that we pay attention. Now, some things need redirection, right? We can't even notice what's on the Lord and what's not on the Lord, right? But there's things being released that whoever the Holy Spirit speaks through, if he can speak through a donkey or a rooster, I think he can speak through children, right? We honor the point. We honor where the Holy Spirit moves and listen and hear that. Damon Thompson says this. This has been an encouraging word for me in different seasons of my life. We've all had these different seasons or are in these seasons, but in the dark night of the soul, breakthrough happens when you surrender because you're unable to do anything that would help you overcome your situation. The key is to become childlike in your relationship with Jesus. You simply surrender and praise God. Isn't that powerful? So lots of seasons in my life where I'm up here, looks like as Graham Cook would say, you look like if what does he say about if he dances, he looks like an octopus on crack, right? You know, but there's something about childlike faith where you don't care and get delivered from what other people think. It's such a big deal that we get delivered from what other people think, and it's called freedom. Ender Walmart's commentary says this. Jesus was quoting the scripture from Psalms 8:2. By comparing Jesus' quote with the actual passage, we can see that Jesus substituted the word praise for the word strength. Therefore, this was the scripture commenting on itself, likening praise to strength. Notice also that Psalms 8:2 goes on to say that this praise or strength is because of God's enemies, that he might steal the enemy and the avenger. So we can see by comparing these scriptures with praise is strength and is intended to be used in spiritual warfare to stop Satan, our enemy. Satan cannot stand true praise to God. Matthew 4:9-10. Away from me, Satan. I worship Jesus. Dick Mills says this. There's seasons where you have to do this if Satan's in front of you on your path. You tell him to sit down. Watch me praise God. Dick Mills says this. He says, sit down. Satan, watch me praise God. And guess what? He'll flee. James 4:7 says this. Submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When we praise God, Satan flees. He can't stand that, right? Here's three thoughts from Michael Miller I'm going to share about the house of prayer. So Michael and Rissa are part of the Turn Network oversee the Turn Network from Upper Room. They hit this hard in the fall, and they've been a great encouragement to me as I've been doing monthly calls with them. But there's three things that he really hit hard in the fall. Number one, and I'm going to share his thoughts here. The house of prayer is a house, an active, ongoing, communicative relationship with God. Therefore, a group of people in relationship with Jesus is his desire and the mark of his house. And a house of prayer, which is church, is a group of people that have learned to commune with, hear from, speak to, and respond to Jesus. You know, at 8:45, we had prayer here in the morning, and people are beginning to show up at 8:15, because we have a pre-prayer worship. Is that what you call that? Yeah, we have. And it's amazing that by prayer time comes, we're in a good place and we pray together. But, you know, Dan McCollin says this, is that we come together to hear God together. One body, many parts. It's not, you know, a man for the power. It's us hearing. Sometimes I don't even pray during prayer because everyone's hearing the Lord and we're praying into what he's doing. I just want to be in the same room where God's moving. And this, you guys have been so faithful to hear God, to release what he's saying in the atmosphere. And we are growing as we worship and as we pray and as we do this as a family and community. And it takes time, but we're doing this because he said it's a house of prayer, right? And we're learning that. So feel free to come and flow in here. It's just a wonderful work the Lord's doing. I believe a community that has become his house is rightly establishing his heart and character from the world to see and know who our God is. The purpose of his house is to reveal the one who dwells there. When people enter our churches, have we made it obvious who Jesus is? And I believe Encounter Jesus has. has done that. We have revealed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus as King, Savior, Healer, Intercessor, Worthy, Purity, Health, Presence. And we need to continue to build in this place of prayer because he's wooing us to more, right? And that's, what would you say about Corey Russell's revelation about hunger? The need is your next step. How did you say that last night? About hunger and revelation. How many are hungry for more? We're satisfied what God has done. We're thankful, but there's more. And he's inviting us in. I keep on seeing this huge open field, like I can't see fence lines, but it's safe. And it's green, and it's beautiful, and I believe it's Jesus. So we're being invited in this place to pray together, right? Three. Did you get it? It was something like, yes, that's good. So, and what was your thought with that? You had a good thought with it too. Jesus, right? Number three. Everybody say three. The purpose of his house is the purpose of the house is his Father resting, abiding upon, and dwelling with his people. All activities should serve this end. The proclamation of the gospel, discipleship, community, and likes must all serve this end. We rightly serve his house by teaching people to pray, and therefore be in relationship with the living God. Right? How many have grown in their prayer life in the last year? I have. How many have increased? If you look back in a year, what God's done, that we're growing. You measure growth over time, right? It's like my dad used to measure us in the back of the door jam. Remember that? In the Sandusky house, and he took us back and we marked it, and we come out the next day, Dad, measure us. And Dad said, wait a few months. You're not going to grow overnight. Just give us some more time. So did you end up taking that door jam with us or not? We forgot. There's a lot going on there, wasn't there? Yeah, so. I was always the tallest, though, right? All right. So, and I believe encountering Jesus' heart cries to the Lord to teach us how to pray. One thing the disciples asked Jesus was to teach us to pray. And how to grow in our passionate personal relationship with Jesus, to know Jesus, to really know him, not information, but to know Christ. So I think it's interesting, pull this all together, to see what Jesus focused on when he cleansed the temple both times, right? He came in with like a lion approach with both times, right, to clean the temple out. But here's six quick things, okay? All right. Did you hear quick? Six quick things I see in the Word of God I just want to release in a rapid fire way, okay? One is purity. Matthew 5:8-9 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Purity helps us see God's mission with clarity and courage to do it. And here at Encounter Jesus, our mission is to fall greater in love with Jesus and to share his love with others. Two, see, I promised, authority. Two, authority. And Brian gave a great word with that a few weeks back about authority. Authority is living in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. This is a place where we hear what our vision is and fulfill it. Obviously, Encounter Jesus exists for everyone to experience the radical love of Jesus Christ, to be transformed into God's merciful nature by the power of the Holy Spirit, to encourage real family connections in the local body, to empower believers to serve in the revival passions, and to release Christians with joy into their Reformation destinies. Three, true worshipers. Let me read Ella's worship vision, so if that's okay with you. At Encounter Jesus, we value pure worship, which comes from a place of spirit and truth. We unite in worship through thanksgiving, praise, and adoration, exalting King Jesus. We believe that as we exalt him through our worship, Jesus invades the room, transforming and marking our lives with his presence and beauty. John 4:23-24, from here on, worshiping the Father will be not a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit and he longs, right? That whole Eli chant with the wanting, right? Jesus wants to be with us, right? And that whole longing, wanting. He longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and adore him in the realm of spirit and truth. We believe in the power of corporate worship that comes from a place of individual intimacy, and from there, we gather to experience bridal glory. You know, in the last year, since we've opened to the public, we have increased in this. We have grown in bridal glory. And I think that's awesome. Good job, Ella, and leading us. Prayer. So let me read Jen's prayer vision, okay? So how many appreciate Jen? So, intercessory team gives ear to the throne room prayers being spoken over encounter Jesus and echoes them on earth that so that the Lord's will may be done through the church, city, state, nation. Each prayer team member brings a vital piece of the picture. Every person here has a vital part of the picture from heaven to reveal the fullness of God's heart through prayer. The intercessory team faithfully serves the Lord in the church through prayers of covering, vision, growth, blessing, and prosperity. My definition, Benny Johnson says this, my definition of being for being an intercessor is this: capturing the heartbeat of heaven and declaring or praying praying that into my world. And then Colossians 4:2, the passion says, be faithful to pray as intercessors who are fully alert and giving thanks to God. Can I have just a prayer team stand up? Could do that. I just want to bless you real quick. Father, I thank you for these ones that touch them, Lord. Extend your hands out to them and just bless them. Cover them with your love, your kindness, your strength, your protection. Strengthen them, Lord. Thank you for these warriors that go before us in prayer and intercede for us and for this city, state, nation. We bless them, and I just see both hands of the Lord on each one of you individually. I bless you with the presence and the power of God and just a strength and a covering right now in Jesus' name. We pray Jesus Christ, the yoke of Jesus will reach you in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 5, healing. How many know that cleansing increases healing? I mean, Jessica's lockjaw got healed. We've seen some floaters get healed. We see some knees and backs have gotten healed. We're seeing people get healed, okay? And we're seeing improvements, and we're going to see more miracles manifest. I believe that. And, my Global Awakening prayer calls are on Monday, and there's been an increase in the last month of healing and miracles manifesting in the states and in the nations. Pastor Ed has a vineyard church in Indiana. He was sharing about all the miracles that are happening at his church. And so there's been more testimonies and prayer concerns being released through this call. And you can see this global release of healing and miracles and just the movement of the Holy Spirit. So I'm thankful for that because you probably won't hear that on the news, right? That there's a release of happening. What is Jesus doing in the earth and aligned to that place? Not saying we don't disregard that. It's good to be informed. But what I'm saying is it's very important that we know and understand what Jesus is doing. And there's this increase of healing happening because I think what's happening in the body of Christ, it's being purified. If you look in all denominations, the stuff that's come out in the last 5 years, we're being cleansed. What comes after that? Healing, miracles. So you can see this being released into nations in a kind way that it doesn't matter what denomination, he's cleaning. He's coming into the temple. I don't know, maybe this is a corporate worship part 3. I don't know. But he's releasing in his kindness a healing and deliverance and cleansing the church right now. And we pray for restoration for all those situations in Jesus' name and they be restored, right? But there's a cleansing happening. It's because of the blood. It's the kindness of God. And every time I hear that, you know, my heart grieves and I pray for those situations for Jesus to intervene and for cleansing and restoration and for truth and for light in that arena. So, even on these calls in the Carolinas, Alabama, Washington, Pennsylvania, Kenya, Israel, of these different people in ministries that are releasing healing testimonies of what God's doing in the earth. So that's exciting. So the last one, do my best here, Brian. 6, Brian? Okay. praise, right? Have we heard a little bit about praise in the last few weeks? We will lift up our hands to Jesus for all he has, is, and will do us. So, and here's the question I want to keep on looking over there, burning out where this one works. But what would the Holy Spirit say to us about being a house of prayer? Michael and Larissa have been talking about how the church is merging together as a house of prayer. It's not separate. It's the church. And there's a great shift happening with a new wine and new wineskins. The house of prayer shouldn't be separate from the church. It is the church. And Michael and Larissa have been pounding this message into the nations and releasing the revelation of how that looks in a body and eldership and all that. So, but what would Holy Spirit say to us about being a house of prayer? Just whatever begins to well up there. And the next one's this one. Two questions on this slide. Which one did Holy Spirit highlight for you? Purity, authority, true worshipers, prayer, healing, or praise? And what would the Holy Spirit say to you about that? So whatever he's highlighting, that's probably what he's doing in you personally. I mean, oh, God's personal, right? You can pick a couple, and that means he's doing a lot in you. Everyone get something? Raise your right hand so you know you're not sleeping. All right, that's good. So that's my introduction now, okay? I'm kidding. Jay didn't like that, but he's laughing. Yeah. I do see the Father giving you a back hug today again, so I don't know if you just feel the Father's love on you, Jake or Jay. So trusting in God releases purity, authority, true worshipers, prayer, healing, and praise. Everyone knows the Revelation 22:17, the Passion, right? It says, come, says the Holy Spirit and the bride in divine duet. Let everyone who hears this duet join them in saying, come. Let everyone gripped with spiritual thirst say, come. And let everyone who craves the gift of living water come and drink it freely. Come. There's a bridal call today that's being released.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check out our website at EncounterJesusChurch.com. Blessings.